Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, on this Monday, December 23, as we are getting very close to the day when the Western world celebrates the birthday of Christ, the day we call Christmas, I want to break into our series on 1 Peter and give attention to the genealogy of Jesus Christ as found in Matthew chapter 1. And I trust that in this we will see the grace of God displayed in the family tree of Jesus. Now, this is part of the scriptures that we usually skip. Genealogies are pretty boring, and when we find them usually in the Old Testament, but there are some in the New Testament, certainly this one in Matthew chapter 1, we often skip over them. At least that has been my experience on many occasions. I don't know about you. But genealogies can actually be very important. In fact, I should make that stronger. Not they can be, they are. They are very important. They, of course, trace family lineage. And for the nation of Israel, they were important in a number of ways. In the first place, they helped them to maintain tribal identification, which was important for their operation as the nation of Israel, divided into 12 tribes by God himself, and was especially important in this regard when it came to land transactions, because, as you know, land could not be sold out of the tribe that the individual who owned the land belonged to. And the reason for that is pretty important. The tribes were allotted a portion of land within the nation, the whole land of Israel. And that's where that particular tribe was supposed to live. But if someone who owned an acreage, or even a smaller plot, but let's say an acreage within that tribal allocation, sold it to someone outside of the tribe, then pretty soon all of these tribal areas, their boundaries, their markers, their distinctions, their designations would soon be completely lost. They would have no significance whatsoever. The whole system would have broken down. And so it was important to have genealogy so that when you were selling a piece of land, you could be certain that the person you were selling it to indeed qualified because they did belong to your tribe. Now that would just be one example. And there were other reasons. There was, of course, the priesthood. And the priest had to, those who aspired to priesthood, or even Levitical service in the temple, which did not necessarily mean priesthood, they had to demonstrate that they were of the tribe of Levi. But how could you do that without genealogical records? In the days of Ezra, when the people were returning from Babylonian captivity, Ezra had to reject some priests, some who said they were priests, because they could not prove their lineage. Were they really priests? Was their claim valid? Was it invalid? Were they usurpers trying to sneak in to the priesthood who were not really qualified? Well, who knows? They did not have their genealogical records to prove their lineage. And so genealogies are important for a lot of reasons. We could cite some others, but I'll stop there. But we need to realize that the coming of Jesus was the product of Old Testament lineage because he was what? Of the promised seed of Abraham? And of the promised seed of David? Well, was Jesus of Nazareth of those lines? Did he qualify to be the Messiah? Did he meet the requirements that he be of the line of David and, of course, of the line of Abraham? How do we know? How could he prove it? Where's his genealogical record? Well, here it is in Matthew chapter 1. And so that's what we're doing on this Monday, December 23, as we are enabled to do so by the gifts of faithful and generous radio listeners. Now, actually, there are two genealogies of Christ found in the Bible. This one in Matthew chapter 1 that we're looking at now, and another one in Luke chapter 3. The one in Matthew, it differs from the one in Luke. The one in Matthew begins with Abraham. It starts this way, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah and his brothers and so forth. I'm not going to read down through this whole genealogy. But it begins with Abraham and traces the line of Jesus from Abraham through David to Joseph, the husband of Mary. Here's where you get to as you read down through this genealogy, verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now notice the careful wording of that verse. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You see, even in this genealogical record, it's made clear that Jesus was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of Joseph, or he was of the lineage of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Well, you say, if he wasn't the seed of Joseph, then why the genealogy? Well, he was the legal heir of Joseph. Joseph adopted him. Joseph owned him. Joseph received him as his own. So there is a legal standing here that is different from the birth line. As to his birth, he was not the son of Joseph, but as to his legal standing, he was. Joseph was his stepfather, and Jesus was acknowledged by Joseph to be his legal son, his legal firstborn son. That's very important. Now, Luke's genealogy begins with Jesus. It actually goes in the opposite direction. Matthew's genealogy starts at the beginning. Well, not all the way at the beginning. It starts with Abraham, the beginning of the Jewish nation, and makes its way from Abraham up to Jesus, not naming everybody in that line. That would be a pretty long genealogy, but selecting certain ones in order to give the flow so that it could be traced. In Luke's genealogy, it begins with Jesus and traces it backwards to Adam, all the way back to Adam, but again, not naming every individual, but enough people so that the genealogy can be traced. And the interesting thing is that Matthew's genealogy is a record of Joseph's line through David. Luke's genealogy is a record of Mary's line, also through David. The Old Testament required, the Old Testament promised, that the Messiah sent by God would be of the line of David, and it turns out that he was in both his mother and his father. As to his actual physical birth, and his real, actual physical mother, Mary, he was truly of the line of David. And then, through his stepfather, Joseph, and his legal position, he was also of the line of David. He was doubly, you might say, of the line of David. So as to blood descent, he was of the line of David through Mary. As to legal right, he was of royal descent from David to Joseph. Very, very interesting. And that actually solves a very difficult problem that most people might not recognize, but you see, God had cursed the royal line in Jeremiah 22:30. He cursed Jeconiah, also called Coniah, and sometimes Jehoiakim, the last king of the Davidic line to sit on David's throne, who was succeeded by his uncle, Zedekiah, and all of this broke down when the nation was carried off into Babylonian captivity. And there we are told that Coniah would be rendered childless. So that seems to be the end of the line. But it turns out that you can get the legal right from the line of Joseph, but the bloodline from Mary, and so it skirts around this curse as far as the bloodline is concerned. But it picks up the royal inheritance as far as the lineage of Joseph is concerned. It's an amazing detail that sometimes is overlooked, but it is truly amazing how the Word of God is fulfilled so perfectly, so minutely, in every detail, nothing overlooked. All of this confirms to me that this has to be the very Word of the living God. How else can you explain things like this? It truly is seen in this particular instance that not one jot nor one tittle of the law shall perish until all be fulfilled. It is amazing how these details are fulfilled. And it's also interesting that in this genealogy, as recorded by Matthew, from Abraham through David to Joseph, that there are four women in the genealogy, which is not typical, because normally it goes from father to son. But in this case, there are four women that are included, and they are, number one, they normally wouldn't be included because they are women, but number two, these in particular would not normally be included because they are all outcasts. Most of them are not notable for their virtue, but their inclusion teaches us something about the grace of God. And taken together, they add a deep luster to this family tree that could only be achieved by the amazing grace of God. And so we'll start looking at these on the broadcast tomorrow as we see, first of all, what grace can forgive in the case of Tamar, who is mentioned in verse 3. And then we'll see what grace can produce and what grace can overcome and what grace can erase in the case of others who are added as well. But we'll have to save that for tomorrow because as I look at the clock, I see that my time is running out. I also see that my exit music didn't come up as it was supposed to, so I will just have to simply speak the closing to you and to say, this is Greg Barkman, pastor of Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, and Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast. I've enjoyed being with you today, and I invite you to come back tomorrow. Our mailing address for those who would like to support this ministry, and we need your gift, particularly here at this end of the year, is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.